Greetings this morning in the name of Christ. Good to see most of the home folks at home again. It's last couple of Sundays it was kind of empty. In 1965, a young man, 17 years old, young man by the name of Randy Gardner, set the world record for going without sleep the longest. He went without sleep for 264 hours, which convert to 11 days. He lived. In June 22 of 2012, a young Chinese man, 26 years old, died because he went 11 days without sleeping. He was drinking and smoking while he was doing that. And they think because of the combination of drinking, smoking, and going without sleep is what killed him. This Randy Gardner was doing this for a science project. Now, there are no known deaths that are directly attributed to lack of sleep, other than falling asleep behind the wheel, you know, stuff like that. But just going without sleep day after day after day, it's not that they have died just simply because of that. However, tests done on rats and other animals showed that after 2 weeks of no sleep, they started dying. Now this morning, I'd like to look at rest. Rest. Do you rest this morning? And what piqued my, and I'm not going to talk much about physical rest, even though that I probably should. There's a lot of us that could use encouragement in going to sleep on time and waking up on time and just simply getting our rest. It's pretty easy to go without rest, going without sleep late at night, and the next morning you're just dragging, you just can't get out of bed, and you can't, but be that as it may. Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Joe. And before we read that, there's also, seems like, there's a time between very young children and older people that we can go without sleep much longer than during that time. The older we get, the more important rest becomes. If you don't believe that, just kind of watch an older person as he works. You know, he works maybe and then he has to stop and just puff and rest. I found out that young people can work rings around me anymore. And I didn't think I was old, but that's the way it is. Our bodies wear out. We get tired quicker and more often. One thing I found out this summer is kind of the heat's kind of hard on me. I can't take the heat like I used to. So that's probably a sign that I'm getting older. Okay, back to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And before we read that, I wanted to say this, that there's a lot of words that are, I mean, there's a lot of this word rest in here. And there are three different Greek words that are used that are translated rest in this portion. I'd like to talk some about them. Verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which believe do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Just a little clarification. This is a quote that directly taken out of Psalm 95, verse 11. It's also quoted in chapter 3, verses 11 and 18 of Hebrews. And there, every one of those verses, it says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my kingdom. Or into, how does it say here? Into my rest. They shall not enter into my rest. And I'm not sure why it's translated here, if they shall enter into my rest. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter my rest. There again, it's a quote from Psalm 95, and again it says, they shall not enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Okay, the first word, rest, there is found in verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. And that word is, and I cannot pronounce these words, but it means an abode, the place we rest. Kind of like we call home. You know, our home is the place we go to, where we stay, a dwelling. That is what this word means. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his, to abide in him. You know, there's, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. He's using the example of the children of Israel when they were going through the desert. They had no dwelling place. They had no place to call their own. They were wandering through the desert, day after day, year after year, just keeping wandering, and they had no dwelling place. He is saying, let's fear lest we get to that point. If we have unbelief in our life, we are at that point. We have no dwelling place. We have no place to call our own. We have no place to go to. This word is found 8 times in this in these two chapters, Hebrews 3, verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They shall not abide in me. They will not have their abode in me. Verse 18, same thought. And then verse 1 of chapter 4, verse 3, verse 5, 10, and 11. And it is always translated rest in the New Testament. And there's only one other place that it is found, and it is in Acts 7, verse 49. And that is talking about God's dwelling place. So Jesus in John 15 gave the invitation to abide in him. to dwell in him, to make our abode in Jesus Christ, to live in him. We believe his promise, accept the provisions he has made on the cross, and continue in him. Now, I want to be open in this thought, but to me, he's saying here in chapter 4 is the rest that we find, the rest he's talking about, or the abode he's talking about, is to that we, the abode that we find in Jesus Christ as we give him our life, our heart, and be are released from sin. We are at rest and peace in our life because we have accepted him, Jesus, into our heart. You know, the battle of life isn't over, nor is the struggle to win the fight over. But we have a captain, the Lord Jesus, by our side to help and give us peace and victory amid our struggle. Like I mentioned earlier, the example was taken from the children of Israel back in the time when they were wandering. They went from Egypt to Canaan, and after they crossed the Jordan River, they came into the promised land. They had came into the land that God had promised Abraham that he would give his descendants forever. Now, when they came into this promised land, they came in. Did they have a battle to fight? Absolutely. They could not come in here and just say, wow, we're in the promised land. We're going to eat the grapes and the figs and the pomegranates, and we're just going to settle down and we're just going to take it easy. That's not what they did. They had to drive out their enemies. They had to fight for the land. They had to give their all into this life of conquering. They had a long fight ahead of them. You know, that's the way we are. When we come into the rest, we abide in Christ. The battle is not over. But there is an ongoing fight to win the war. You know, those children of Israel didn't come into the promised land and said, ooh, we're just going to rest now. We're just going to rest. After all, for 40 year, long years, we walked and we walked and we walked from one place to another. All we did was walk and walk and walk. We had sand in our eyes and sand in our feet. We walked and we walked and we walked. And now we're just going to stay put. We're just going to enjoy ourselves. They didn't. If they would have, the inhabitants of the land would have overtaken them. You know, we've heard many times the story told that the struggles that they faced, the battles they fought, temptations they had, the fears they faced, but the promised land was their home as long as they followed Christ's directions, God's directions. Okay, the next one, the next rest, word rest, is to means to settle down, to colonize, or to desist. How do you say that word? Desist, I think. In other words, to cease. And that word is found in chapter 4, verses 4. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 8, and if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, had given them rest, had the actual rest was there, they could have just sat down, he wouldn't have spoken of another rest. And verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his works, own works. That word cease there. You know, we quit trying to please God on our own strength, but find rest in Jesus' blood and sacrifice. One other place that this word is used, where it means to desist or to cease, to settle down, to colonize, is found in Acts 14, verse 18, and that example was when Barnabas and Paul were, through the power of God, had healed the crippled man in Lystra. And the people said, "There are gods among us." Excuse me. And the priest came and he brought these animals and they were going to sacrifice to these gods that were before them. And Paul and Barnabas did everything they could to keep the people from honoring them as gods. And that's what it says. They scarce restrained them. That's the word that is translated there, is they scarcely restrained them. So, did God rest from his works on the seventh day because he was tired? Because he had to rest? No, I don't think so. He rested because he was done. Everything was complete. He was, what's the word I want there? He ceased from his works because everything was perfect. He said it was very good. So he rested. He quit working and bringing about the creation. Now the third word translated rest here is in verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that word rest there is a type of heaven. The repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. Rest. And this word is used one time in the New Testament, and it's right here. The eternal rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God has promised us a home, an eternal home, to live forever with him in eternity. John 14, verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus has promised, these were words of Christ, Jesus, that he has promised that he is going to heaven to prepare a place for us, his people. "That where I am, there ye may be also." Revelation 7, verse 14 through 17 says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." Now this was John speaking to the angel. "And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears." So we have three different kinds of rests here. The first one is to, got to look at these definitions again, the abiding in Christ. The second one is to settle down, to colonize, kind of to spread out. And then the third one is our eternal home. 1 Thessalonians 4, just another verse that would concrete that thought into our minds, that God is coming back for his children. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with you. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So there is a promise of rest, eternal rest, for the child of God. Now, there's one more rest that I would like to look at, and that verse is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. These are Jesus' words. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This morning, I don't know what struggles you are facing, or how you are finding your way in this struggle. But Jesus has promised to give us rest. And this rest means to I forgot to write that definition down, but it just means to give us peace, if I can remember right, to give us peace and contentment in midst of struggle. How do you find, what do we do when we are put in a position of, we know something is wrong, we know something is bothering us, but because, I don't know how to say this, but because of the role that we have to play. Now, I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking about, husband and wife relationships, parent versus child, child versus parent, school teachers versus maybe school board, parents, church, leaders towards laity and laity towards leaders. What do we do when we face these struggles and face these trials? And we face these things that are bothering us, and we say something and nothing gets done. Nothing happens. We don't want to keep on nagging. We don't want to keep on just on and on, just nagging and bringing everything up. And I'm not saying this because there's something wrong here. I'm just talking about the verse. Where do we go for answers here? And I don't know, again, I don't know if I can answer all these questions. But if we struggle, I have to think of, husband and wife. Now we realize that the husband is called to be the leader in the home. And the wife is to be the follower, the submitter. Now, there are times that the wife sees something in the husband or in the home that it bothers her. And she says something to the husband and just seems nothing happened. What is she supposed to do? How is she supposed to find rest when nothing happens? We know that she can't just run out ahead of the husband and just start making things fly, because that won't work. That's not God's principle. That's not God's plan. And yet there is something that she feel should happen. You know, I can only tell you and to encourage you to bring it to Jesus. Pray. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is in Jesus Christ that we find rest. It is in Jesus Christ that we find contentment and courage to go on. You know, there are times that we worry. We worry what will happen in the future. You know, I remember so well, after our second child was born, I wondered, what is going to happen here with my children? Will they face tremendous persecution? Will they be faithful? Was it even smart to have children? Because of the wickedness of the world around us. You know, we could look at the church and we could think, well, where are we going to go? Where are we going to end up at? You know, we look at our family, especially families at family reunion times, and we see people that at one time would have embraced the biblical principles of nonconformity and modesty, and today they're just, it's anything but. Are we going to end up there? Is my family going to be there? You know, we worry about these things. And I shouldn't say worry, because worry kind of has a bad... But we're concerned about it. Will our family be able to meet God with a clean heart and life? You know, there are hurts. I mean, people get hurt by people. Are you struggling with a hurt that somebody hurt you in the past? I don't know. But can you find rest in Jesus and just giving it to Christ? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," heavy burden in your heart. "Give it to me, and I will give you rest." Just follow me as I give you direction, and I will give you rest. You will find rest in Christ. Along with that, the thought of hurts is unforgiveness. You know, there are times that we get hurt, we face troubles and trials in life, and things happen. And we just struggle with this thought of forgiveness. You know, we experience hurts by family members, church members. And they're in our hearts for years and years, and it rankles and it festers. Can we give that to Christ? He said, "Bring it to me, and I will give you rest." Death. You know, we may struggle with death. This life is full of death and suffering, sorrow and sadness. And I don't think anyone is here that has not had some type of death in his past, as far as family members and things. You know, there are people that have lost husbands, have lost wives, have lost children, close relationships, and they were separated and torn apart, creating a hole that will not be filled. Can we give that to Jesus? Jesus said, bring it to me. I remember, again, I remember so well when I was probably about five years after my dad passed away, we were at a friend's house and for the evening, and it was one of my best friends. And we were there for supper for the evening, and after we had eaten there, we went us boys went out to the barn to play basketball. But before we went out, the dad of the home said something to my friend, and I don't even remember what he said, and I don't remember what the friend said to the dad, but I remember it was a response that wasn't very respectful, wasn't very there's another word I want, honoring the dad. And I just remember thinking, friend, if you would only know what it is to not have a dad, you would respond different. But you know, I found myself responding the exact same way toward my mom. And I had my mom. We don't respect, we don't really see what we're missing. How can I say this? We don't know what we have until we don't have it anymore. Let's bring these hurts and these this feeling of loneliness and the feeling of just simply this thought of death and what it does to our heart, let's bring that to Christ. He is saying, I will give you rest. Disappointments. Life is full of disappointments. Disappointments in our job. You know, sometimes there's disappointments in the husband-wife relationships. Married life may not be, I mean, for some reason we find out that married life is not what we thought it should be or would be or could be. And we're disappointed. You know, the parents are disappointed towards the children, and the children are disappointed towards the parents. Disappointments in church relationships that go sour. Sometimes we have disappointments in the products we buy. And at times we're disappointed in our lack of commitment to our relationship with the Lord. Jesus has said, you who are heavy laden, bring those burdens to me and I will give you rest. Temptations. We are bombarded with evil temptations every day. And at times we fall and we don't even realize we fell. Because we kind of enjoy that temptation a little bit. Other times we are aware of the temptation and we desire victory so much. And yet there seems to be no power to overcome. Bring it to Christ. He will give you rest. You know, there is temptations to snap at our children when we're tired. Going without sleep is, they said, one of the biggest factors. There was a number of things that said going without sleep does. One is irritability. I mean, we should know that just looking at our children and our own experience. We get irritable when we go without sleep. If we go long enough, go without sleep long enough, we can become obese. We can get high blood pressure. We can get the sugar problem. Diabetes. There was some more. But if we, this temptation of snapping at our children, just rah-rah, and do this, and don't do that. It just doesn't make for a good relationship. You know, sometimes we're tempted to cut down our wife when stress gets bad. And you know this thing of stress. There's a house down, if you go down to Cord and take 37 and go down to 17, take a right and go down to Diaz. In the middle of that S-curve, there is a house, kind of a new house on the left, nice brick house. And soon after it was built, I was going down the road, coming from here, going down to Diaz, and I noticed that this house has a fairly wide garage door on it. And you can see it from the road. This header in the house by the garage door bows. There is stress in that header, and it cannot handle it. You know, if we continue living in stress day after day after day, eventually something will snap. What do we do when we are under stress continually? We need to get out. Somehow, get relief. Give it to Christ. You know, there's temptations to chuck the whole Christianity thing right out the window because of inconsistencies of those that profess to follow the Lord. Temptations bombard us day after day after day. Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am meek. Take my yoke upon you. Follow me. Be yoked together with Jesus. Follow him and learn of him. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of the God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." The thought I wanted here was that we commit it to God. God is going to take care of it. God will take care of our life if we but give it to him. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator." In closing, I'd like to read Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 5. 5 through 7. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Don't take things into your own hands and try to work out these problems that you are not called to work out. Don't try to take them into your own hands and try to make things happen, because pieces will fly. But give it to God. Give it to Christ. He says he will give you rest, and he will take care of that. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If we have stresses and troubles, if we have these things in life that bother us, and if we're in a position where we have done what we can, then let's rest in Christ and allow him to move and work and do as he wills. Let's kneel for prayer.